Today, I want to address the concern that many discern as something not being quite right with everything that is happening in the world today. I think you would agree that with all that's happening and the swiftness with which it's all happening, there's just something that seems off. And I would suggest that the reason it seems that something isn't quite right is because it's not. And that's what I want to talk about today. Now, by way of introduction, I want to be very clear that what I'm going to talk about today is only for those who have ears to hear. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says that in the last days, there's going to come a time in these perilous times that people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, you know what they're going to do? They're going to flock in great numbers to those who will tell them what their ears are itching to hear, what they want to hear, and they won't put up with any sound teaching. Doctrine. They will not tolerate, put up. I'm preaching second service already. I'm going to stop right there and just invite you, encourage you. Really looking forward to it, actually. All right. Let's begin with the Word of God, as we always do. And we do so in order to establish a firm, sound foundation as the basis. I want to encourage you to search and examine the scriptures for yourself to see if what I'm saying is true or not. This is Acts 17, verse 11. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. And that is what I want you to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you'll join me there, and then we'll make our way through here several passages of scripture from which to build our foundation. I want to read verses 7 through 10. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church in Corinth, and he is detailing for them the gifts, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And he says, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one, verse 8, is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, verse 9, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, verse 10, the working of miracles. And I want you to hang on to this. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Hang on to that. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to read verses 19 through 22. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, writes, do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 5 verses later in verse 6, 1 John 4, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. Has ears to hear. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll read verses 9 through 12. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, verse 11, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that they will all be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. Okay. The reason I wanted to start with these particular scriptures is because the common denominator in them is this much needed reminder of God-given discernment. If there was ever a time for spiritual discernment, that time is now, by virtue of how it is the only cure for all the confusion in the world today. And with spiritual discernment, we can know what is the Spirit of God and what is the false spirit of demons, or as Paul refers to them, doctrines of demons. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to, listen, deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It is my belief that now, like never before, these spirits of deception, these doctrines of demons, are being met with a measure of success in the realm of the Spirit. One need look no further than to the current global deception and the chaos and confusion that always ensue and even now is. But God makes available to us this gift of spiritual discernment to see with spiritual eyes the truth, exposing all the lies. Now, here's the question. The question is one of whether or not we will avail ourselves of this gift of discernment so as to not be confused and deceived by the author of confusion and the master of deception, the devil himself. Let me explain and expound on that. What I mean by that is, just because God has given this gift to us, and He has, it doesn't necessarily mean that we'll receive it, and more importantly, make use of it. And I think that's the problem. Now, this brings me back to the aforementioned sense of something not being quite right. It is God's way of getting our attention. And He does so by giving us a check, a pause. There's no peace. Something's not quite right. That's the Lord. That's the Lord. That's discernment. Here's an illustration, an analogy. You know, in your car, you have these warning lights that come on. You know, the check engine light. I hate that light, by the way. Comes on the car. Something's wrong. Warning, warning, warning. So what do? We take black electrician's tape and we check engine light. Dare I say it's check something isn't right. This is God's way of saying you don't have this peace. Something isn't quite right. That's me. And the reason why you have that check is because it's not right. It's all wrong, in fact, on every level. I would argue that God is allowing this global deception governmentally and economically because it's all according to his plan of salvation prophetically. Make no mistake about it. Everything that's happening, it's going perfectly according to God's prophetic plan. However, just as God has a righteous plan for man's salvation, so too does the devil have an evil plan for man's damnation. Dare I say that said plans are not only in place now, but in operation to full capacity, such that they will reach the intended end in the end, and that end is the end. It's the end as we know it, and we're foretold about it, which explains why it is that the evil plot afoot is gaining traction. And it also explains the reason why we are in quote-unquote warp speed. And Satan knows it. But you know what's sad? Most people don't. Most people do not know how short the time is. Revelation 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's a curse, by the way. You know, woe means something different in our day. It's like, whoa, that's not what this means. A curse to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. Here's why. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Would to God that the Christian would know that we have but a short time. So, what is it that Satan knows he has only a short time to do? Revelation chapter 6, in part, has the answer. Verses 7 and 8. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power. I want you to hang on to that too for just a moment. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. Who gave them that power? God. Why did God give them that power? Well, here's the answer. And I need you to listen because the enemy does not want you to hear this. The devil is God's devil, not God's equal. The devil is a created being. He is not omniscient, he is not omnipotent, and he is not omnipresent. God allows the devil to do only that which ultimately fulfills the plan of God in the end. And this might be a game changer for someone here today or watching online. The devil cannot do anything to you unless God allows it. And please know that God will never allow it unless ultimately, in the end, it's for his glory and your good. Ask Job. Well, we'll get a chance to ask Job. I don't think we're going to be interested for the first, 500 jillion, trillion, billion years, though there's no measurement of time and eternity. But Satan had to ask for permission. Ask Peter, too, by the way. There's that account when Jesus says to Peter, Peter, come here, I need to tell you something. And you're not probably going to like it, but Satan has asked me for permission for you to sift you as wheat. And I know it's not in the text, but, kind of knowing Peter and getting to know Peter, you got to wonder what's going through his mind. Kind of like, okay, you told him no, right? That's what I wanted to talk to you about, Peter. I told him yes. I gave him, why? Oh, because in the end, it's going to be for my glory, and it's going to be for your good. Same thing with Job. Satan could do nothing to him, could not touch so much as a hair on his head unless God gave him permission. And God would not give him permission unless it ultimately served his purpose in the end. That's something I think we need to always have written on the tablets of our heart concerning the goodness of God in our lives. Because the enemy is right there sowing seeds of doubt about, hath God said? Why is God allowing this to happen to you? And he's always all about planting seeds of doubt concerning the goodness of God, especially when you're in the midst of a trial. And the enemy knows it. When you're discouraged, downcast, giving way to despair, the enemy's right there. And it's in those times when we have to be solid and sound as it relates to the goodness of God. Okay. It's with this introduction and explanation that I would now like to do a deep dive into what's really going on and what's really going to happen according to Bible prophecy. We're going to start with further forensic evidence that the COVID-19 vaccine, so-called, is a demonic deception on a global scale to kill, destroy, doom, and damn mankind. How's that? Have a nice afternoon. It's the truth. Well, I don't want to hear it. Well, I don't want to hear it either. How about that? But we need to hear it because it's the truth. It's the whole truth. And it's nothing but the truth. So help me, God, and help me, God, as I get through this. Pictured here is a screenshot of the MedAlert's website that an online member sent me. Here on the homepage, they state, quote, MedAlert's offers an alternative to the official vaccine adverse event reporting system, VAERS search engine, CDC Wonder. That's the name of it. Both are built from the government's raw data, but MedAlert's has a better user interface, more powerful search capabilities, and more extensive reporting, making it the best search facility. The U.S. government collects reports of adverse health events that follow the administration of a vaccine. This database, called the VAERS, is available for anyone to use. Here's a screenshot of, from that website, the search results page from January 21st, 10 days ago, showing in great detail, I might add, page 1 out of 33 pages recording 329 deaths attributed to and directly caused by the so-called COVID-19 vaccine. And this is only the U.S. On page one, it shows the record of a patient receiving the Moderna vaccine on December 23rd, who died 2 days later on Christmas Day as a direct result of the vaccine. Now, it's important to note that these are the search results of deaths only, and it does not include those who are experiencing serious and debilitating illnesses and reactions after taking this so-called vaccine. The reason I'm saying so-called is because it is not a vaccine, as we'll talk about here in a moment. I had several online members send me this video of an interview with a Dr. Lee Merritt by Alex Newman on The New American. Here are some excerpts, and I quote, "It seems like it's just the perfect excuse to take our rights, shut down our businesses, destroy our economy, and overrule our personal bodily integrity. Now, they're saying maybe we're going to have mandatory vaccines. They've used it to create fear. And fear is an incredible psychological manipulator of populations. They've taken down our economy. They're taking down our generation of children with these stupid masks. And they're damaging us in all sorts of ways." I sense I need to say this parenthetically from the Holy Spirit. And maybe it's somebody online, but the numbers, and we're not really being told what the real numbers are. Do you know how many people are taking their lives? Do you know how many people are committing suicide? Do you know how many young people are committing suicide? How about this? Do you know how many pastors are committing suicide? If you're watching online and the enemy has planted that seed of suicide in your mind, I want you to know that God loves you and there is always hope. And your hope is in Jesus. Your hope is in Jesus. He's your only hope. Let me continue on quoting. It's a psyop. You know what a psyop is? Psychological operation. It's a psyop at this point, because here's the other thing we learned, and I don't think they really expected us doctors like myself to study, and we learned lots of things. It's really not a vaccine. But whatever this thing is, this RNA thing, it doesn't prevent transmission by their own admission. And even if it did, it is created to act on the warhead part of this deal, the spike protein. Let me again just parenthetically say here, this is going to get a little bit technical, but if I can understand this, you can understand this. And again, don't let the enemy go, oh, this is, you know, this is kind of very technical medical jargon. No, don't let the enemy do that to you. When I say, it's not hyperbole, I'm not, you know, trying to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Forget whatever that word is, but I'll let you fill in the blanks. When I say, if I can get it, you can get it, I mean that, because I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen drawer, okay? And if I can understand this, you can understand this. So don't let the enemy say, well, this is too complicated. It's not. Quoting again. So next year, these guys and these bioweapons, which one of the other things I learned, sadly, is that there are these bioweaponeers all over the country, and that we literally have funded them. Think about this. We have funded a PLA virologist to come and work in our Army bioweapons lab. That is the height of insanity or treason. They're not giving you a pathogen or a piece of a pathogen or a small piece with an adjuvant, which is a chemical that makes your immune system react more. What they're doing is programming mRNA, and mRNA is like DNA, but it's the messenger RNA. That's what the M stands for. It's what makes proteins in the body. It's kind of like, listen to this comparison. It's kind of like a computer chip that you put into a 3D printer. And then you tell it what you want it to make. And it prints it out. We have that in engineering. And this is the biologic equivalent. I make up some mRNA and it tells your body to produce certain things. Well, in this case, what they've done is they've made a piece of this mRNA to create in every cell of your body that spike protein, or at least part of it. And with that spike protein, you're actually creating the pathogen in your body. So this is where it gets a little wishy about how much of that spike protein is actually being created. And I don't know how to find that. I can't find that, but I'm sure somebody knows. The doctors can get at that data. That's the guys at the very top of this project. They know, but we don't know. They say it's to the spike protein, but how do we prove it? We don't know. If I make something to hook onto this coronavirus, like the spike protein or something else, another protein, and I just make it an mRNA to that, but I know it doesn't exist in nature, nobody is going to die from the vaccine. Then 2 years later, I release the whatever it is that I made, the counterpart. Then it causes the immune enhancement death. So it's a delayed death. That's what binary poisons are. They're delayed. I give you part one. I can then walk away. And then you can get into contact with part two and die. And you can't trace it to the vaccine. So, you know, you're being lied to at every turn. Close quote. On Friday, an online member sent me a BitChute video of Dr. Andrew Wakefield titled, "This is not a vaccine. It is an irreversible genetic modification." In it, he says, and I quote, "It is not a vaccine. It is an intermediary product which leads to the production of a protein that generates a so-called vaccine. And it is genetic engineering that has never been tested out in human beings before. If it causes a problem, a year, 2 years, 5 years down the line, and it's already been given to billions of people worldwide, it's too late. You can't take it out. You can't switch it off. You can't stop it. It's in there." A while back, another online member sent me a video of an interview with Dolores Cahill, a molecular biologist and immunologist in Ireland. And at the time, I didn't reference it. However, when I continued receiving subsequent links to this video that had been posted on other platforms, I thought it would be worthy of quoting today for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that she confirms everything that both Dr. Merritt and Dr. Wakefield are saying. So, here are some excerpts from a BitChute video titled, "Why People Will Start Dying a Few Months After the First mRNA Vaccinations." She starts off by showing a screenshot of this paper that was published, get this, in 2012. "Immunization with SARS coronavirus vaccine leads to pulmonary immunopathology on challenge with the SARS virus." Quoting, "So The issue when you inject messenger RNA was that if it had a protein from the virus, like the spike protein, this plus positive RNA can go into our cells. The spike protein that's expressed in our cells and may be exposed to the immune system when those cells die and the body starts mounting an immune response, including an antibody response. So, say that that happens in December and people will start doing that straight away so that within 2 or 3 weeks that process would start. But if in February, March, and April, another coronavirus is circulating naturally in 2021, this is back in 2020, that would be like a challenge to the natural. The SARS is one of the natural coronaviruses. Or it could even be, get this, the common cold. What happened in this study that she's referring to here from 2012 is that the animal models, after having been challenged, got very sick and some of them died. Then she points out the last line of the abstract, quoting, "Caution in proceeding to the application of a SARS-CoV vaccine in humans is indicated." 2012. So, the aim for this thing is antibody-dependent response or cytokine storm. Now, she's going to explain what cytokine storm is in a moment. Or immunopriming or immune superpriming. This is all going to make sense in a minute. This is why there has been no vaccine for decades licensed for coronavirus. It's because you get this issue that the messenger RNA starts expressing the virus, and then when it comes across the natural circulating coronavirus, which could be a month or a year or 2 years down the road, then the people get very, very ill very quickly with this cytokine storm. They also saw this in the experimental vaccine RSV. Most of the children that were given this RSV vaccine, which had the same issue, experienced severe disease with infection that led to a high frequency of hospitalizations, and 2 children out of 35 died. 2 out of 35 from the vaccine died. The conclusion from this was that the disease was enhanced by the prior vaccination. So what people need to know is that with these RNA vaccines, after you're vaccinated, for the rest of your life, you will have a much higher chance of death, as the children in this study, because you were vaccinated. The people may not make the connection. And what we do not want is if there are significant deaths in February, March, April, that is called COVID-19 or COVID-21. This issue about the vaccine making people sicker and having a higher chance of death, not because of a circulating virus, but because of the vaccination, weeks or months ahead. Now, when Cahill was asked to explain what a cytokine storm is, here's what she said. Listen. The cytokine storm is when you put RNA genes in the vaccine and inject it into your body. You bypass all the natural immune response, which would be the immune response preventing the vaccine from actually entering your body. So suddenly the mRNA from the virus gets into your body and it's used as the human machinery in the cells to express the human proteins. So suddenly, The virus that's been injected into your body and the immune system sees the virus in your body as something that should not be there. And it mounts an immune response. But the shocking thing is that normally you're immune and you can get rid of the virus. But when you inject it, and it's why mRNA is so deadly, it goes into your genes and it starts expressing, it starts simulating the immune response from inside your body, and you literally cannot get rid of it because of the source of the viral protein. You become like a genetically modified organism. Did you catch that? A genetically modified organism. And your body is expressing the virus protein. Slowly, your immune system tries to get rid of it, but it can't. Your beautiful and exquisite antibodies try to get rid of it, but you never can, because it's now part of who you are. It's integrated. Then suddenly, the antibody response will now activate and realize, oh my, this viral protein is in every cell in my body. So then the antibodies start attacking your cells and your organs. So people who die will go into septic shock, and then they will go into organ failure within 3 or 4 or 5 days, and they will die. Suppose we shouldn't be surprised when we read headlines like this from the Jewish News Syndicate. Israeli virus experts, we may need vaccine updates every year or two. Updates? Fauci's on record. I don't have the link or the article, but something to the effect of, you're going to need, this is a quote, upgrades. Are we talking about a computer here? Yeah, we actually are. This is and we've addressed this prior, but this is a software. They're installing an operating system. You don't believe me? Last week, I think it was, Moderna's own website. They call it the software of life, an operating system. I mention this because it, to me, is evidence that this is not a vaccine. This is like the illustration of a computer installation software coding that says to the 3D printer, I want you to produce this. Only what it's producing is nefarious and malicious and evil. Suffice it to say, this is why we sense that something isn't right. It's not right. Simply put, this is what's really going on. It's satanic. It's evil. It's demonic. It's a deception. And its sole goal is for the destruction of humanity, literally. The end game? You know what the end game is? It's to kill and destroy mankind by way of first reducing the population, then surveilling and controlling the population. This last week, I happened upon an interesting article in the Express out of the UK about a comment 98-year-old Prince Philip made more than 30 years ago that's now resurfaced. In 1988, the Duke of Edinburgh was quoted as saying, "In the event that I am reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus to contribute something to solving overpopulation." Come on. Bill Gates, come on. You think it's a coincidence that he stepped down from Microsoft in March of last year to devote the rest of his life to this noble cause of developing a vaccine for the COVID-19 virus? I'm getting ahead of myself, but this is what COVID-19 and the so-called vaccine, which isn't a vaccine, is all about. Namely, that of it now being just a matter of time before the world's population will be forced and coerced to be vaccine compliant. As one so aptly said it, I want you to think about this. Imagine a vaccine so safe, you have to be threatened to take it. For a disease so deadly, you have to be tested to know if you have it. Does that make sense? That ain't right. That just ain't right. The reason I wanted to reference 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is because it is such a powerful deception. And don't think for a second that God is unfair in sending this powerful deception. The reason he sends this powerful deception, this strong delusion, is because they've already rejected the truth. They've already sealed their fate. You know, when you read in the Old Testament that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that first read is kind of like, well, that's not fair. It's kind of like, poor Pharaoh didn't stand a fighting chance. God hardened his heart. No wonder. What's up with that? Oh, you have to understand that 8 times prior to us reading that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, we're told that Pharaoh hardened his own heart, sealing his own fate. The Spirit of God is not going to strive with man forever. There comes a point when your mind's already made up. Your heart is already hardened. And as such, your fate is already sealed. And it's kind of like Romans 1, by the way. That's a very intense chapter. I remember when we went through the book of Romans, this is many years ago. I think it took us 2 years, maybe more, to go through the book of Romans. What a book. Whew. Romans chapter 1, man. I wept through the whole teaching because it's about God giving people over to their burning lusts, woman for woman and man for man. It's kind of like, okay, have your way. You've rejected me. I've tried, but you've already made up your mind. That's why. And so here comes the deception. I've heard it said like this: if you reject the truth, you'll believe any lie. You open yourself up and you are susceptible and vulnerable and gullible to the most bizarre of lies. Like this lie, after the rapture, it was an alien abduction. Oh, that makes sense. It's a lie. UFOs, it's a lie. It's a deception. UFOs are demons. Hello? They're demons. I digress. I want to share with you a follow-up from a very good friend of mine that's in the medical field who emailed me the following. You might have already received a similar article, but below is a link to the COVID-19 vaccine passport, which you might find interesting. My VP told me that our hospital will soon roll out a way to identify on our ID badge those who are vaccine compliant. We currently have to wear a mask and an eye shield when we talk or meet with someone. However, if we take the vaccine, then we don't need to wear the eye shield anymore, only the mask. Managers will be able to quickly identify those employees who have been vaccinated or not. Guess us non-compliant ones will stick out. That's the point. The other day, a third employee informed me out of sheer frustration that since she took her second vaccine a couple of weeks ago, she is feeling scatterbrained, and that is not her normal. She also mentioned feeling like she wants to jump out of her skin, which is exactly what my ER case manager mentioned shortly after receiving her first vaccine shot. I'm sad that now more than 80% of my staff have taken the vaccine, up from 50% due to fear and pressure. Pictured here is the screenshot from that link in which they ask the question, is it time for COVID-19 vaccine passports? In it, they report major tech companies, Microsoft, Oracle, and Salesforce are partnering with the Mayo Clinic and other leading healthcare companies to develop technology for digital COVID-19 vaccine passports, which would indicate whether an individual has been vaccinated against the disease. But some experts worry the technology is being developed too soon. Well, it has to be, because there's not much time. And Satan knows he has but a short time. We got to get this show on the road. On Friday, January 22nd, CNBC reported on how the United Airlines CEO wants to make COVID vaccines mandatory for employees and is encouraging other companies to do the same. It's just a matter of time. This brings me to a question that we've been asked about often as of late, having to do with why we're emphasizing the vaccine at the exclusion of other events of prophetic significance. That's a fair question. Kindly allow me to answer this question this way. First, this is the most important issue we're facing today. Well, yeah, but what about what's happening in Israel? Well, you ready for this? Do you know what nation leads in vaccination of their population? Israel. More than the U.S., yeah. More than the U.S. Even now, many are faced with the decision as to whether or not they should be vaccinated. You think I enjoy standing up here and talking about all this? I absolutely do not. I dread it. The Lord knows my heart. This is real. Another reason we're addressing this so-called vaccine is because the evidence proves beyond a reasonable doubt that this will become the mark of the beast during the seven-year tribulation. It's for this reason alone that it's incumbent upon me to talk about this, such that if we're already seeing this happen now, then how close are we really? Because see, what we're talking about, what we're emphasizing, what we're looking at, what we're discussing is that which will ultimately find its fulfillment in and during the seven-year tribulation. So why, pray tell, do we need to bother with this now? Because we're not going to be here. That is absolutely right. Thank God for that, right? But if what we're seeing now already that ultimately finds its fulfillment in the seven-year tribulation, it's already beginning to come to pass now. This is Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, hunker down. No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say hunker down. He says, look up, not hunker down. Why? Because your redemption draws nigh. That's why. Yeah, you can clap. Praise the Lord, man. Are you kidding me? I truly believe that we are so close, so close. And now is the time to get Jesus to people and people to Jesus as quickly as we possibly can. That's why. It's also why we do these weekly prophecy updates. It's why we end with the gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, and a simple explanation, childlike explanation of salvation, by way of the ABCs of salvation. You know what the word gospel means? It means good news. Your debt, your penalty has been paid in full. You're free to go. That's what the word gospel means. Good news. What's the good news? Oh, Jesus died for you. He was crucified and he was buried and he rose again on the third day, and he's coming back again one day. That's the good news. That's the gospel. the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. What are the ABCs of salvation? It's just a childlike, simple explanation, a template, if you will. Something to equip you and provide you so you're at the ready to give to everyone an answer of that hope that lies within you, that blessed hope, the good news of salvation. And by the way, I'm sure you have someone in your life that's looking at you going, why are you so happy? You seem unfazed by this. Oh, so glad you asked. You want to know why? Yeah, what's up with you? Why aren't you freaking out like the rest of us? Oh, here's why. Good news. The A is for admit or acknowledge that you've sinned. And this is huge because unless and until you do, you're not in the market. I'm sorry to say it like that. You're not in the market for a Savior. If you're not a sinner, you're not looking for a Savior, right? It's when you acknowledge that you sinned that you realize, I need a Savior. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. And Romans 3:23 tells us why. It's because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 packages, in a way, the bad news first, and it's really bad, with the good news. What's the bad news? The bad news is the wages of sin is death. We were all born sinners, and we've all been sentenced to death. That's the bad news. Ready for the good news? The good news is the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a gift. Oh, he paid for it in full. Cost him everything. Cost him his life. His blood shed in our stead to pay, to purchase that gift that he offers to you and to me. And it's a gift. If you pay for it, it's not a gift. It's a purchase. You don't pay for it. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It is the gift of God. We're saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should ever boast that we did something to achieve it or obtain it. The B is for believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. And the C is for call upon the name of the Lord, or as Romans 10, 9 and 10 also says, confess with your mouth. If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And Romans 10:13, lastly, says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will. I like that word. You know what will means? It means you will. I know that's, again, deeply profound. It's not you could, you might, you should. No, you will be saved. You will. Period. John says you can know that you will have eternal life. The jury's not out. The verdict is in. You're saved by grace through faith, because of what Jesus did for you instead of you. I implore you, and I make no assumptions, if you're here in this church service today, perhaps visiting for the first time, I make no assumptions. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, I implore you, I plead with you, do not put off even one more day, one more hour, the most important decision of your life for eternal life. You might be watching online and it's no accident. The Lord had you continue watching, not stop watching, for such a time as this. Today is the day of salvation. I am pleading with you. Now is the time. With everything that's happening, and as swiftly as everything is happening, it is all coming to pass exactly as God's word said it would. I was just thinking about when Jesus was teaching the multitudes, hard teaching, and the multitudes bailed. I mean, they just left. They just started, you know, bailing on Jesus as he was teaching. And it's very interesting because the detail in the account is that Jesus turned to the disciples and asked them, "Are you going to leave too?" That's every pastor's nightmare, is when somebody gets up in the middle of the teaching and leaves. So he turns to the disciples and asks them, "Are you guys going to bail on me too? I know it was a hard teaching, but are you guys going to leave too?" And Peter, I love Peter. He says to Jesus, "Really?" He doesn't say that, but I mean, it's kind of, that's the gist of it. "Where are we going to go? You alone have the words of life. Where else are we going to go?" "Yeah, it's hard. I don't want to hear it. Truth be made known in my flesh, I do want to bail on you. But if I do, where am I going to go? This is the bread of life. You are the bread of life, the word of life, eternal life." Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much. Please, God, I pray for discernment on the part of your people. We need discernment. We need to discern. Please, Lord, for those, and I'm sure there are many, who are faced with this decision, maybe even tomorrow morning, maybe this afternoon, they have to make this decision. Lord, I pray that you will reveal yourself to them in a powerful way, so much so that there would just be this realization that unless it had come to this, there would have been no way that you could have revealed yourself in this way, provided in such a miraculous way. Lord, I pray that you would remove fear completely away, because you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a disciplined, sound, sane mind. Don't let the enemy put fear in the minds and the hearts of your people, Lord. Strengthen and encourage their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.